Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. If you're a regular listener to the programme, you will know that our whole philosophy is to bring out the profoundly spiritual aspects of apparently very secular music and, on the other hand, to promote the jazzier aspects of supposedly sacred and holy music. In other words, to break down the artificial barriers between sacred and secular music. General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, famously said, "Why should the devil have all the best music?" Surely the psalmist is right when he declares, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." Whether God really wants to claim ownership of punk music is, of course, a matter of debate. Anyway, in keeping with our attempts to straddle the false labels of holy music and unholy rackets, secular and religious, this programme is part two in a series of two programmes about parables. In the first programme, we enjoyed some musical parables, well-known popular songs which each painted vivid imaginative pictures, illustrations of life, such as Ronan Keating's Life is a Roller Coaster, Bonnie Tyler's Total Eclipse of the Heart, and Simon and Garfunkel's Bridge Over Troubled Water. You get the idea. The best speeches and the best songs that we hear are full of stories, illustrations, anecdotes and parables, which make the meaning clearer and easier to understand. Now, having savoured the profundity and wisdom of the parables in our popular songs, let us in this second programme about parables sample the work of the greatest parable teller ever, Jesus. And let's listen to his stories and enjoy some of the more parabolic music that goes with it. Like this jazzy wee song by Ian White about one of Jesus' more famous parables, the sower.
You've heard it once before about a farmer sowing seed in the country long ago. Some fell on the pathway with people walking by, and the birds came down and ate it up and flew up to the sky. So if you have ears to hear me, if you have eyes to see, if you have understanding, then listen well to me. The secrets of the kingdom are here for you to know. So follow what he tells you and watch as you will grow. And you will grow taller than you know. Some fell on the rocky ground, started growing high. But plants can live without a drink, and soon they all had died. And some fell on the thorny ground, started growing strong. But all around were weeds and thorns that choked them till they'd gone. So if you have ears to hear me, if you have eyes to see, if you have understanding, then listen well to me. The secrets of the kingdom are here for you to know. So follow what he tells you and watch as you will grow. And you will grow taller than you know. But some fell on the good soil, and when it was full grown, it gave the farmer back 100 times what had been sown. So if you have ears to hear me, if you have eyes to see, if you have understanding, then listen well to me. Secrets of the kingdom are here for you to know. So follow what he tells you and watch as you will grow. And you will grow taller than you know. People on the path. pathway. The truth is snatched away. The devil wants to stop them from believing and being saved. For people on the rocky ground, the truth is in their grasp. But the root is not secure, and so this faith won't last. For people on the thorny ground, they started out so brave. But cares and worries, wealth and pleasures took the life away. But people on the good soil, could one of them be you? When they hear, they persevere and show God's love is true. So if you have ears to hear me, if you have eyes to see, if you have understanding, then listen well to me. The secrets of the kingdom are here for you to know. So follow what he tells you and watch as you will grow. And you will grow taller than you know. Taller than you know.
We see you, we see you, we understand.
You grow tall and strong.
We see you, we understand, we hear you.
Listen
we
to his
you,
wisdom.
We understand, we hear you.
Watch
we
with
see
your
you,
eyes.
We understand, we hear you. We see you,
listen
we
with
understand,
your ears
we
and understand.
We see you, we understand.
Jesus was probably sitting in a small boat just a few yards offshore as an improvised outdoor platform, with the crowd jostling for the best view right up to the water's edge, and the slope of the beach making a natural amphitheatre. As he addressed the crowd, Jesus probably saw a solitary sower walking up and down his field, hand scattering his seeds at sowing time. Jesus liked to make everyday illustrations of his message. He liked to tailor his stories to the particular audience and their immediate interests. The parables are usually making one point, one simple point at a time. But this parable of the sower is maybe the exception to that rule. Some folk feel it's an allegory. It's making lots of connections and interpretations. Some see it as the parable of the sower. That's what it's called. And who is the sower? The answer given usually is Jesus. He's spreading the word as he preaches, and the crowd of people standing, swaying in front of him, look like a crop of corn sheaves ready and ripe for harvesting. But some people see it as the parable of the soils. It's an illustration of four different types of people who match the four different types of soil mentioned. The first type, it's said that some people are like the hard, baked soil, hardened by feet walking on it or by the scorching sun, so that they are hard and impervious to whatever is preached. In the second category, some people are like the soil, which readily accepts the seed, and then it quickly sprouts, but it soon gets choked by all the weeds. They're immediately receptive to a new message, but soon other things in their life preoccupy them and choke out any time and space for the message to have any lasting effect. But there's a third type. The wayside is unfertile, unsuitable soil in which no seed can possibly grow. And it's like some people who will never listen and never respond. But in the end, there's always the good soil, which receives the seed and soon produces a bountiful harvest. Other people, though, have seen this as a parable not so much about the sower or the soils, but a parable of the seed, which they interpret as the word of God. It goes out, and it often has setbacks, greater or lesser acceptance, but in the end, it comes good and produces results. So hang in there and keep spreading the word. You see how the interpretation can get complicated. But in just about every other case, a parable is a short, simple story to illustrate one straightforward point. Take, for instance, the one about the pearl of great price in Matthew chapter 13. This is the whole parable. The kingdom of heaven is like this. A man is looking for fine pearls, and when he finds one that is unusually fine, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that pearl. How's that for short and sweet? We each have our own pearl of great price, the thing that we would prioritize over everything else. Maybe it's family, or money, or power, position, food. Christians say that Jesus Christ is their pearl of great price. Everything else is just that, everything else besides him. Here's Roger Patterson, a Saltcoats man, singing about the pearl of great price.
Well, I wouldn't trade the peace that I have here in my heart for anything this crazy world could give to me. And I wouldn't trade the treasure that I have in Messiah the Lord for all the bright and shiny things my eyes might see. Jesus told a story of a man who searched for pearls, and having found the one pearl of great price, he sold all of the others to make that one his own. And so it is with us who want his kingdom in our lives. And no,
Jesus said that we would all be wise to listen to himself, his life and his teaching, and put it into practice in our daily lives. He painted the picture of two people, one wise and one foolish, one building their life upon the solid foundation of his life and his teaching, and one not doing that. Here's the Wonder Kids to sing about it.
The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man
Jesus not only taught teaching stories and lessons, his whole life lived out what he taught, and his whole life was one big parable in itself. Many teachers in effect say, "Do as I say, not as I do," but not so with Jesus. He really practiced what he preached. His life was a living sermon. He was God revealing himself to us in a way we can relate to as a human being. So not only is he teaching us about the otherwise invisible God, he's also teaching us about human living. Since he became an ordinary human being, not a superman, he shows us what we can be like. All Christians aspire to be Christ-like. He is the archetype, the role model. Folks sometimes try the cop-out, "But I'm not Jesus Christ. I'm not supernatural and divine." No, but he became fully human, one of us, precisely to show us how it is done as ordinary human beings. So listen to this next parable with this in mind. It's a parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus is himself the Good Samaritan, come down from heaven to help all of us poor souls in the gutter. However, it is told by Jesus to inspire us to go out there and for us to become Good Samaritans too, just like him. This is Jamie Stewart telling the story.
One day, an expert lawyer tried to trick Jesus. He said to him, "Mister, I'm keen to have this everlasting life that God has promised. How do I get it?" Jesus said, "You have the answer right there in your law book, my friend. What does it say?" And the lawyer replied, "You've got to love the Lord God with your whole heart, soul, mind and strength. Aye, and you've got to love your neighbour just as well as you love yourself." "No bad," said Jesus. "Just act like that and you'll please God." But the lawyer wasn't contented with that and asked again, "Aye, but just exactly who is my neighbour?" Jesus decided to illustrate his meaning with a wee story. One day, he said, a man was travelling along the dangerous road from Jerusalem to Jericho. Suddenly, some ruffians laid into him, whipped all his gear and clothes, and left the poor soul half dead. Now, a Jewish priest happened to be going down that same road. He sees the man lying there, turns his head, and gives him a nifty body swerve. In the same way, a Levite comes on the scene, offers no help, and just leaves the poor old punter lying there. Finally, a Samaritan comes along the road. He sees the man and is touched with pity. He gets out beside him, kneels down and cleans his wounds. Then he puts him on his own donkey and fixes him up at the nearest inn. He looks after him during the night and in the morning squares up with the innkeeper, promising to look in on his way back. Jesus then turned to the lawyer. "Now then, which one of they three was a neighbour to the wounded traveller?" "Dead easy," said the lawyer, "the man that was kind to him." Jesus answered, "Right then, Jimmy, just you do the same."
And here is my wife, Patricia Noble, singing her own composition based on the story. As I set off to walk my dog, Dougie the Dachshund, I happened to say to her that it is strange how Jesus' most famous parable has so few songs about it. By the time the dog and I got back, Patricia had written this song.
He was travelling along the windy road that leads from Jericho, hoping to reach Jerusalem by the end of day. Well, the sun beat down, he was getting tired, and the journey seemed so long. He hoped he'd find a place to stop along the way. Then the night drew in and the temperature fell and the way got very dark. Still he traveled on, thoughts of home were on his mind. But unknown to him, a gang of thieves were lying there in wait. They beat him up, stole all he had, and left him there to die. At the crack of dawn, two holy priests were walking on that road. To the synagogue they went to worship on that day. They came across the man who was beaten up, but to help him would waste their time. They'd be late for church, and so they passed on by. Then a Samaritan arrived, an untouchable, a type who no one loved. He saw the man in the gutter and knelt down by his side. He tended his wounds, gave him some food, and brought him to an inn. paid for his board, promised to return, and went on his way. Now God looks down from heaven above to see if love is just a word we use or something that we live. We must walk the walk, not just talk the talk, if we want to follow Christ, loving God, others, and learning to forgive.
As we are musing over some of Jesus's famous parables, like the one about the lost sheep and the good shepherd who went searching for it, let George Beverly Shea take up the story.
There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold. Away on the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care, away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here thy 99, are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, this of mine has wandered away from me. And although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. I go to the desert to find my sheep. All through the mountains thunder riven, and up from the rocky steep, there arose a glad cry to the gates of heaven, rejoice, I have found my sheep. And the angels echoed around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back. Rejoice, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own.
Jesus styled himself as the Good Shepherd, saying, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. They know my voice, and they follow me. I'm willing to lay down my life for the sheep. No one can snatch them away from me. So his whole life was a living parable saying loudly and clearly, I am the Good Shepherd, as Catherine Jenkins sings.
He leads I will fear no evil, for you are with me, you will comfort me, you are with me, you will comfort me.
Perhaps the world's favourite parable of Jesus is the prodigal son, although it would be better to entitle it the parable of the loving father, because he's the real hero. His love is total and constant throughout the story, regardless of the faults of his two sons. Here's Jamie Stewart again to tell it.
Jesus said, "There was once a man that had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Hey, father, can I ask you a favour? Why no gie me the share of the family gear right now to save me waiting till you're dead?' The father was hurt, but agreed, and split his property between the two sons. A wee while after, the younger son picked up all his gear and left home for the bright lights in the big city. It wasna lang afore he wasted his whole fortune on the bevy and the parties and living it up. Just when he was hitting rock bottom, a terrible famine swept over the country. He needed work right bad, but all that he could get was a job with a farmer feeding pigs. He was so famished that he could have fair eaten the beans he was feeding the pigs. Nobody took pity on him. Finally, he gets wise and says to himself, 'Ach, I'm off my head, so I'm. At home, even my father's servants are well looked after, and here's me starving. I'll just need to bottle my pride and go home. I'll confess to my father that I've done wrong and ask him to sign me up along with his servants.' So he gets up and starts out for home. He's still a long way from his house when his father catches sight of him and runs out to meet him. He throws his arms around his son and kisses him. The boy was greeting. 'I'm sorry, father, so am. I'm just a loser and I'm no fit to be called your son.' But his father shouted to the servants, 'Fetch out some nice clean clothes for my boy, and a ring for his finger, aye, and I want you to kill the prize calf. We're going to have ourselves a real celebration this very night.' Now, the big brother was coming in for the fields, and when he came near the house, he heard all the music and the jigging. He called to one of the servants and asked what was up. 'Ah, your wee brother's come back home, sir,' he was told. 'Aye, we're celebrating like. Your father has even killed the prize cow for the feast.' The big brother was bailing and wouldn't go into the house. So the father comes out to reason with him. He answers his father, 'Oh, hold on and listen to me. I've slaved for you all these years, and you didn't even once get a party for me. And now that wee yaff comes back, been on the run, Dan, so he has, spent all your money on booze and hooers, and you kill your best coo for him.' The father was hurt at all this. 'My son,' he says to him, 'you've aye been here with me. You must ken that all that's mine is yours. But you see, it was right to celebrate. I thought my son was dead, and he's come back to life. He was lost, and now he's come home.
And I leave you with Don Francisco singing a song about that story.
I loved you long before the time your eyes first saw the day. And everything I've done has been to help you on the way. But you took all that you wanted, then at last you took your leave, and traded off a kingdom for the lies that you've believed. And although you've chosen darkness with its miseries and fears, although you've gone so far from me and wasted all these years, even though my name's been spattered by the mire in which you lie, I'd take you back this instant if you turn to me and cry. I don't care where you've been sleeping, I don't care who's made your bed, I already gave my life to set you free. There's no sin you could imagine that is stronger than my love. It's all yours if you'll come home again.